I've breathed the local air. Maybe only for a few minutes at a time, but it hasn't seemed to hurt me. The local bugs aren't interested in me, he thought. I'm foreign material to them. It'll take them a while to develop a taste for earthly cells. How long? Years? Centuries? Months? After half an hour of walking through the meadow toward the low hills that ringed the village, Brad finally put through a call to Littlejohn. Mission protocol, clear all decisions with your department head before taking action. Actual protocol, take your action first and then inform your department head when it's too late for him to stop you. Return. Littlejohn sank back in his desk chair, feeling somewhere between surprised and deflated. You're returning to the village? He asked, annoyed at the squeak of his own tone. As he waited for Brad's reply, he berated himself for letting his surprise and frustration show. Brad's going too far, he thought. He decides what he wants to do and then does it. Leaves it to me to clear it with Kossoff. Makes me his errand boy. Yes, sir, said Brad. You should get approval from the executive committee before doing that, Brad, Littlejohn said. Littlejohn's holographic display showed what Brad was seeing. A broad green meadow that ended in the gentle slope of grassy hills. A few trees rose here and there, several of them noticeably bent by the recent storms. The ground appeared to be littered with twigs and debris. The sky overhead was cloudless, a brazen bowl of hammered copper. At last, Brad said, I promised them I'd come back to the village. They must think I've been killed, or maybe that I lied to them. I can't break their trust in me. You can get Kossoff and the executive committee to approve my action. Can't you please? What choice do I have? Littlejohn muttered. Beneath the hot glow of Mithra, Brad paused as he reached the crest of the hills that ringed the village. The hollow looked much as it had when he'd first seen it. The floodwaters were gone, and the ground looked firm and dry. Several of the gamins were repairing their roofs, including the longhouses, hauling cartloads of branches and twigs, teetering on the edge of the walls to weave them into rainproof roofs. Others were out in the fields, he saw, clearing the clutter blown in by the storms among the carefully tended rows. From this distance, it was impossible for Brad to tell one of the aliens from another. They were all tall, lanky, dome-headed humanoids, unclothed, their pale white bodies spattered with irregular splotches of blues and purples. He started down the slope into their hollow. Bird! His computer translator erupted. Look! It's Bird! For an instant, everything in the village stopped, frozen with surprise. Then all the gamins rushed toward him, dropping to the ground from their rooftop repairs, racing in from the fields. Bird! They shouted. Bird! Halfway down the hillside, Brad stopped and waved at them. Hello! He called. They stopped a respectful few meters before him. Nx shouldered his way to the front of the pack. Bird, we thought you were dead. We thought the cats got you. We thought you had left us. Smiling inside his helmet, Brad said, No, I'm fine. I simply need a little rest. But you've come back to us. I have come back to you. And you'll never leave us again? Brad hesitated. Then, I will not leave you until I know that you can live through the long winter and survive on your own. But how can we do that? No one has ever lived through the winter, said Nx. Except the Rememberer, Lun corrected. And even he goes to sleep in the ground until the winter is over. I will show you how to survive the long winter, said Brad. Mentally, he added, if Kossoff and those other oafs don't get in my way. Renewal. It was almost like coming home to a big, welcoming family. The gamins clustered around Brad, happy to see him, glad to have him back among them. Brad felt the warmth of comradeship for the first time since he'd been a teenager. Then Lung asked, What do we have to do to prepare for the winter? The warm glow dimmed considerably. You get straight to the point, don't you? Brad asked silently. We'll start preparing in a few days, he temporized. How did the farm get through the storms? Nx said, Not much damage. The new folk are resting in the ground properly. May I see them? The gamins went silent. They all turned to Nx. Nx said to Brad proudly, I'm the village rememberer now. Everyone agreed that I should take Nrm's place. That's fine, said Brad. Looking into the faces of his fellow gamins, Nx said, I think it would be good for Brad to see the new folk. Yes, Wung agreed, and then we can start to prepare for building a new village for them. Brad thought Nx might be the new rememberer, but Nx is going to be pushing him every step of the way. Then he realized with a pang of disquiet how similar that was to his relationship with Kossoff. They all trooped out to the farm fields. Brad saw the neat rows of crops, sprouting nicely despite the storms. Some of the shoots were bent, a few torn away entirely, but by and large the farm appeared to be in reasonably good shape. Nx led Brad and the others off to a far corner of the farm where there was a different planting, little mounds spaced roughly 5 meters apart. Atop each mound, a single leafy green stalk rose, sticking up like an antenna on a spacecraft. As the gamins stood respectfully to one side, Nx gestured to the mounds and said, The new folk. They're growing in the ground? Brad asked. Yes, of course. Dropping to his knees, Nx said, Listen to them. And he bent his head to press it lightly against the earthen mound. Somewhat more awkwardly, Brad sank to his knees and pressed the side of his helmet against the dirt. Nothing. No. Wait. The faintest whooshing sound, in and out, like a distant tide surging against a sandy shore. In and out, it's breathing, Brad realized. And he heard the tiny lub-dub of a heartbeat. Straightening up, Brad stared at the mound of grayish-brown soil. There's a body in there. A gamin is growing beneath the ground. Felicia and the rest of the biologists will go crazy over this. He realized now why the mounds were 5 meters apart. Room for the kids to grow to full size. Climbing up to his feet, Brad asked, When will they come out of the ground? How long before they are fully grown? After the winter, Nx said. They will sleep in the ground while the world freezes. Then, when the ice melts, the new folk will rise from the ground. And the Rememberer will teach them what they must know, said Brad. If the Rememberer survives the winter. We can help you there. Ung caught Brad's word. We? There are more of you? You are not alone? Brad looked into their expressionless faces as they clustered around him. The computer's translation of their words could not convey their emotions, but Brad guessed that they were at least inquisitive, at most fearful. They've got to find out sooner or later. As gently as he could, even though he knew that his tone would not get through the computer's translation, Brad said, Yes, there are more of my kind coming here. They live in the sky. Do you live in the sky, Bird? Asked one of the gamins. Without hesitation, Brad replied, Once I did. Now I live here among you. Tacit approval. MC was reporting. Transmissions from Gamma are much more reliable with the new communications satellite in place. Kossoff nodded impatiently. Yes, we can watch all the details of McDaniels making a shambles of our contact protocols. MC did not reply. Turning to Littlejohn, sitting before his desk, Kossoff asked, What are we going to do with this young man? He's made a mockery of our chain of command. With a shrug of his thin shoulders, the anthropologist said, Brad's on his own down there. He's doing what he thinks is best for the aliens. Is it best for them to shatter their traditions, their way of life? There's not much we can do about it now. Jabbing a finger at his desktop screen, Kossoff grumbled, The executive committee back Earth side is furious with me. They're blaming me for allowing McDaniels to run wild. Littlejohn's dark face contracted into a frown. You've been put into the position of a leader whose people are running off in an unexpected direction. Not my people, Kossoff snapped. One man, him, McDaniels. It's not a happy situation for you, I admit. Yet, if you take the long view, Brad just might have saved those people from annihilation. That should be worth something back on Earth. They'll want my head on a platter. Surprisingly, Little John smiled. Not if Brad succeeds. Succeeds? Get yourself to the head of the parade, Adrian. What would happen if you direct Brad to build a new village for the unborn gamins? Sourly, Kossoff replied. He's already telling them that that's what they're going to do. All right, said Little John. You take the credit for it. You announced that we're going to study how these survivors develop in contrast to the other villages that were wiped out by the cats from Beta. That would be a real achievement, wouldn't it? An achievement that would take centuries to bring to fruition. But you would have started it. Under your direction, we can study the development of two alternative societies on Gamma. Anthropologically, it would be fabulous. Two alternative societies. The other villages have been wiped out by the cats, but their next generation is growing in the farms. Once the planet gets through its long winter, those gamins are going to come out of the ground and restart their societies. The Aborigine barely paused for a breath. But in Brad's village, the gamins survived the cats. How will they get through the winter? What will their society be like when their next generation wakes up? Kossoff stared at the anthropologist. Study the differences between them, he mused. Yes. You've got to get to the head of this parade, Little John encouraged. You're the leader of our group. Lead, even if it's not in the direction you originally planned to go. Kossoff leaned back in his desk chair, fingers steepled in front of his lips. He muttered, Don't fight them, join them. Lead them, said Little John eagerly. All day long and into the lengthening shadows of sunset, Brad tussled inwardly with the decision he knew he had to make. His problem was that he didn't know how to make it. Sooner or later, he told himself, I'm going to have to show them my true form. I'm going to have to let them see me as I really am, not masquerading inside this biosuit. How will they react to that, he wondered. Will it shock them? Will it ruin the trust they have in me? How will they react to having others from the starship coming down to work with them and study them? Kossoff is right. This is a very complicated, very delicate situation. How should I handle it? That night, once he'd returned to the crippled shuttlecraft, Brad peeled himself out of his protective suit and called not Kossoff nor Little John, but Felicia. Show yourself to them? She asked, looking startled. It's got to be done, sooner or later, Brad said. I can't go decked out in this disguise forever. The time lag between them was shorter now that the starship was returning to Gamma. Still, the delay seemed to drag on forever. As he waited for her reply, Brad admired her beautiful face. She's worried about me. For me. She really cares about me. I'm the luckiest man on Earth. Then he remembered that he wasn't on Earth. He was 200 light-years from Earth, on an alien planet. Brad, Felicia replied at last, you should ask Little John and Kossoff how to handle this. They're your superiors. You've got to get their approval before you take such a big step. He nodded, but he thought, pass the buck upstairs. Let them take the responsibility. And what if they make the wrong decision? I suppose that's the correct thing to do, he said. When Felicia's reply reached him, it was, you know it is. But Brad was already thinking, what's best for the gamins? We've established contact with an alien race. We've helped them survive annihilation. Now we have to help them get through their winter. Are we going to put our decisions up to a committee vote?